it another way. Let me give you all five of them at once, so you can write them down and you can look at them later. And if you missed one, you can pick it back up. I've entitled this message, Five Bedrocks of Salvation. And, of course, bedrocks carries the idea of stability. And that's what these doctrines are. They give you, as a Christian, they give you stability and strength. And when someone's been born again, they need to have an understanding of these five bedrocks. So let me tell you what they are. Number one, bedrock is justification. I'll explain that here in just a little bit. The second one is propitiation, and that's going to be 1 John 4:10. The third one is redemption. Redemption. You should know what redemption means, but I'll talk a little bit more about it here in a little bit. Number four is reconciliation. And then the fifth one is sanctification. So that's the five bedrocks of salvation. And we want everybody in the church to have an understanding of these doctrines. Now, some of these words are longer, but you can still understand them. I mean, it's not, once you hear it and then you see what it is, it'll help you with your faith. These five bedrocks of salvation are priceless. You can't put a tag on these. And everybody in the church should know these. We want all of every member of Elizabeth Baptist Church to have an understanding of these bedrock doctrines. So it's important that we have them. So we'll move rather rapidly, probably, but let's go ahead and look at Romans 4 and let's get the first bedrock doctrine in the book of Romans chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. And the first one is justification. And I guess if I had to pick my favorite doctrine, I love all the doctrines. Everybody loves all the doctrines. What's doctrine mean again? Bible teaching. And these are deeper Bible teachings that we hope that everyone has an understanding of. So the first one is justification. And the word justification means to be declared righteous. That's the meaning of it. It's a declaration of righteousness. If before you were saved, you were dead in trespasses and in sins. And what the Lord did in justification is He declared you righteous. And as I've told you a billion times, of course, the justification is having your sins charged to Jesus and His righteousness charged to you. Has everybody got that? That's what justification is. And that's one of the greatest things you can have, but you'd be surprised at how many people that don't have an understanding of justification. It's a dangerous thing not to understand justification. Having Christ's righteousness charged to you, you got it? Christ's righteousness is charged to you. How much righteousness does He give you? 100% righteousness. And then what else does He do? He charges your sin to Jesus. That's how you get saved. That's what salvation is. And I think that people need to have an understanding of I'm justified. That means I've been declared righteous. That means He's imputed His righteousness to me. Now, another thing you'll notice when you get in other books of Scripture, when you get back in the book of Revelation, it'll show those saints of God in that white raiment. They have raiment, clean and white. And you know what the book of Revelation says that represents? It represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the reason we're going to heaven is because Christ paid our sin debt on Calvary. We know that Jesus died for us. But the thing that people miss is that Jesus also lived for us. That's the part that people get left out. It takes 100% righteousness for you to be justified. That's what it takes. And the only way you can get that is through one person, and that is through Jesus Christ, because even sinner men, I've heard him say it before, even sinner men will often say, you know, there's only been one perfect man. You ever heard it? That's true. There has been only one perfect man, and that's Jesus. And he takes his righteousness and he gives it to you. Think about it. 100%. That would be a horrible life to live not to have his righteousness. And that's what he does when he saves your soul. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want you to notice verses 20 and 21. Well, I'm sorry. Let me move up to 18 through 21. You ready? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ... Now, when you're in Christ, what does that mean? It means you're saved, doesn't it? That's what it means. If any man be in Christ, what's it say? He's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things becomes new. That means you're going to be different when you're born again. I've told you a bunch of times about this, but when someone makes a profession and then there's no change there, I really think there's something wrong with it. I've actually talked to people before that have made a profession of faith, but they've never made any kind of change. Now, I'm not saying you're saved by your works. You understand that I don't believe that. But what I'm trying to tell you is there's cases where people make a profession of faith, but there's no change. There's no hunger for spiritual things. Now, I got something that I've told you about before, and I'll tell you about it again. I have a hunger for spiritual things. And you know what else? If you're here tonight and you're born again, you have a hunger for spirit. That's why you're here. Because you have a hunger for spiritual things. That's why you're sitting here tonight. How awesome is that? So it's important that people have a hunger for spiritual things. But if somebody doesn't, I think there's something wrong with it. I told a fellow that one time. We talked and he had made some type of profession. But it never changed him. He was the same that he was before, had the same old talk, the same old carrying on and all that. And he talked to me about it one day. Again, he got mad at me over it. And I said, you know, I said, bud, the people on this job have no idea that you're saved. Because you haven't done a thing that shows that you've been changed by the Lord. I went on to say, I think you better take a look at your profession. Because it looks to me like your profession is dead. You know, there is such a thing as a dead profession. And you know what a dead profession is? Is a profession that don't change you. And that's what happened to him. And what did he say to me? He got mad as a wet hen over that. But I wouldn't have been doing him no good if I never told him. I told him. He didn't like it. But I told him. I didn't do it in such a way as to make him mad. Sometimes people do that too. But I didn't do it that way. I said, Bud, you haven't changed at all. You're still going out drinking with the boys outside of the, you know, when the lunchtime comes. You're still doing the same things that you did before, and there is no change. There's something wrong with you. You need to go back and recheck that thing, because it ain't changed yet. And if it don't change it, there's something wrong with it. All God's people said, justification will show itself by a change of life and a change of heart. Don't you agree with me? And what He does is when you trust Christ as your Savior, He gives you His righteousness and He charges your sin to Him. So that's what justification is. It's a great, one of the greatest doctrines in the Bible, and that's what He's done for us. Everybody here tonight that's born again and trusted Jesus, you have His righteousness. You have His righteousness. That's how you know you got enough to get to heaven. That's the only way you can know you got enough to go to heaven. The only way you know you got enough is when you have Jesus. And Jesus gives you His righteousness 100%. And He takes your sin, and He charges it to Jesus. That's what He did for us. That's justification. Isn't it wonderful? It's a wonderful doctrine. If you didn't have that, you wouldn't have nobody saved. We'd all be dead in our sins. And what He did when He saved our soul is He justified us. Let's go now to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Five bedrocks of salvation. The first one was justification. The second one is in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll be looking at the verse 10. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. And we'll also, let me go ahead and get this one since I'm already here. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Herein is love. Herein is love. Now notice what it says here. Not that we loved God. Everybody see that? Who loved you first? Well, the Lord loved you first. Hey, how long ago did He determine to love you? Man, He did that before the world ever began. He did that before the world ever began. That's a wonderful thing when you look at it. Let's go back to our text. First, propitiation. 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God. Who loved who? What He's trying to show you is who loved who first? He loved you first. The reason you're saved and born again is because that He loved you first. Now, did you deserve that? No. But that's what He did. That's why we say that salvation is by grace. It's a grace message. Grace means, you know what grace really means? It means not of works. You don't earn your salvation. You don't deserve your salvation. Who the one that did it? The one that did it was Jesus. And He saved us by the grace message, salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way a sinner man or anybody else can be saved. Propitiation means the appeasement of God's wrath. Let me say it one more time. Propitiation, 1 John 4, verse 10. You see that word propitiation in verse 10? It means the appeasement of God's wrath. Let's look back to 1 John 2 and the verse 2. I think I got another one back here. Here it is again, the word propitiation. What does it mean? The appeasement of God's wrath. Hey, let me ask you a question. God's wrath was on us. Does everybody in the house agree? We as sinner people, God's wrath was upon us, right? Isn't that true? But you know what the Lord did? He provided for us a propitiation. He provided for us a propitiation. And God's anger was appeased in His Son. God's anger was appeased in His Son. That's what He did for us. That's amazing, isn't it? Let's turn to the Gospel of John chapter 3. I'm going to keep giving you some of these things so that you can remember them, because these are important doctrines. A lot of people don't understand some of them. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal such things. All right, let's go ahead and look at John chapter 3 and the verse 36. John 3 and the verse 36. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Everybody see that? That's easy to understand. And to believe is to trust in Him. He that believeth, or he that trusteth on the Son hath what? And we know everlasting life is how long? It's forever life. That's what we have in justification, in this everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son, everybody, now we're looking at the opposite again. We looked at the salvation part of it, but now look on a little further what He wants you to know in this particular text. It says, "The Father loveth the Son, and He hath given unto us, He hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath what again? Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." I want you to think about that one. He that believeth not the Son will not see life, meaning they will not have everlasting life, meaning even further, that when they die, if they die without Christ, that they will go to hell. They will go to hell. And what a horrible thing that would be for someone that would sit in a congregation and hear about the gospel message and never trust it. What a horrible thing that would be. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God." I want you to hear that. "The wrath of God abides on him." I mean, he's just... Now, I want you to notice what I just said, or what the Scripture said. "The wrath of God abides on him." I mean, all your days, if you've never trusted Jesus, His wrath is abiding over you. So when you die, where do you go? Well, the sentence gets carried out. And the sentence is hell. That's why people need to be saved. That's why people need to have peace with God. That's why. That's why we have to issue a warning. You can't just act like things are okay when they're not okay. You just can't do it. It's just not right. We all must, and you must do it in a good way. I've seen people do it in bad ways before, but you must give them a warning in a good way. Y'all agree? You got to give a warning in a good way. I told you about this before. It's about the awfulest thing I ever did here. And I heard it up close and personal. There's a lady that had a son that died. And there's a lady that had a son that died. I don't remember the name, but there's people in our church that knows about it. And what she did is her son died, and she got angry at the Lord over it. She got angry at the Lord over it. And here's what she said. Well, my son died, and he died without the Lord. What I would rather do, and this is what she wished for. She said, "I wanted to go to hell. I want to go to hell. I'm sure he is there, and I want to go see him again there." Can you imagine that? I visited that woman. I went to see her after that. I thought, well, maybe something will change. Something might change. And I went there, and she took both her eyes and did this. Didn't want me to preach. Didn't want me to share anything about the gospel. She was sure that he went to hell, so she wanted to go to hell. Have you ever heard of that? It's a horrible thing. Beloved, it's important that people see the need of a propitiation. Having your sins paid for, the appeasement that comes through justification is so important for you to have. So that's justification. The second part is propitiation. Now let's get to our third one right here. This is our third. These doctrines, this is a third bedrock. That's what we've been doing calling them. This is a third bedrock. And the third bedrock is redemption. I love the term redemption. And the word redemption means to buy by the payment of a price. That's what redemption is. When you talk about being redeemed, it means that your sins has been paid for and Christ's righteousness is charged to you. That's being redeemed. It's being set free from bondage of your sin debt. John chapter 8 and verse 36. Y'all probably remember this verse because I've quoted a good bit. John chapter 8 and verse 36 says, "Whom the Son sets free, they shall be free indeed." Man, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free of the sins of the past. I mean, you just think how great that is whenever you've been born again. What a wonderful way to live when you know Christ. Redemption is an important doctrine. Notice what it says. Let me show you another one here. We're still under the word redemption. Let's look back at Ephesians chapter 1 again. Give these to you. Ephesians. Book of Ephesians and chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Okay? All right. It says in Ephesians 1 and the verse 7, it says, "In whom we have redemption," how? "Through His blood." We have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now turn to Revelations 5 and 9. Let me give you another one. Revelations 5 and the verse 9. Again, we're talking here about redemption. Redeemed, how we love to proclaim it. Being set free by the payment of a price. Now, Revelations 5 and the verse 9. Watch this now. It says in verse 9, "And they sung a new song. They sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy." And they're singing to the Lord here. "Thou art worthy to take the book." This is the book of seven seals. I ain't going to get off on that now tonight. "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, And you have redeemed us. You have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That shows you there'll be a lot of different people up there, doesn't it? A lot of people will be up there. So this redemption, who paid the redemption price that would set you free? Jesus did. We were in that slave house of sin, and Jesus paid to set us free. All God's people said. Wonderful thing. All right. Justification. First bedrock, justification. Second bedrock, propitiation. Third bedrock is redemption. What a wonderful thing to be redeemed. What a wonderful thing to be redeemed. Let's get to our fourth bedrock, then we'll get our fifth bedrock. Okay? The fourth one is reconciliation. It means to be reconciled. You know what we were, and I want you to get this. You know what we were before we were born again? What were we? What does the Bible say we were? We were enemies. We were enemies. Let me turn to Romans. Let's turn to the book of Romans and see if I can find this text. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Yeah, Romans chapter 5. It'll work. Romans chapter 5. Watch this now. Therefore, being justified, how? What does it say? How? Look at it again. Therefore, Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by what? By faith. That's by believing. And what we believe is the gospel. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's how you're saved. Therefore, being justified by faith, what do we have? Peace with God. It's the only way you can have, the only way you can have peace with God. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great blessing. By whom we have access. Everybody say access. We got an access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We've been reconciled. We've been brought into a position. I'm no more an enemy. I'm no more an enemy. Now, because of justification, I have what with God? I have peace with God. Do I worry about hell? No. He paid my hell on the cross. He gave me peace with God. Number five. This will be the last one. Sanctification. And the word sanctification means to be set apart for a holy purpose. To be set apart for a holy purpose. There's two types of sanctification. Positional sanctification, in which He paid for all of our sins, and He set us apart for His service. He set us apart for His service. But there's another type of sanctification. It's called progressive sanctification. And in progressive sanctification, what the Lord does is He works in your heart. He works in you to cause you to mature and cause you to grow and learn more and more about the Lord. We call that progressive sanctification. That's what it is. It's a wonderful thing to have. And what the Lord, and that's why we come to church. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we teach the Scriptures, so that God's people can learn what they have, what they got. Sanctification is a wonderful thing. Now, remember that there's positional sanctification and progressive sanctification. When God, when He saved your soul, He set you apart to be His. That's what He did. But, I'm saved. I'm born again. I have everlasting life. And the Holy Spirit works in my life all the way down through my life. And He progressively works in my heart in service to Him, in learning from Him. Progressive sanctification. That's what He does. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Well, beloved, we've looked at five bedrocks of salvation. Any one of them is worth... any one of them is priceless. Justification is priceless. Propitiation is priceless. God's wrath has been appeased on me. And now I have peace with God. Redemption. He purchased me by the pain. Hey, He purchased us by the payment of a price. Let me ask you a question. Who paid the price? He paid the price. You couldn't pay it. You can't pay it. Only Jesus could pay it. Reconciliation. To be brought into a position of peace with God. At one time, I was God's enemy. But now, I've been reconciled. Reconciled with God. That's what salvation is. And last of all, sanctification. He sets you apart for a what? A holy purpose. Two types. We still live in this sin body, right? Y'all agree? And He still works on His body. All of our, do y'all think He works on our body all day? I mean, all our life? He does. Pushing sin out. Showing things that's wrong. That's progressive sanctification. All God's people say it again. I hope you enjoy.